All right, we're beginning here, seven lines down on the top of Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph. Gemara says, "Ibailu ma'u the kadesh yadav raglav bikior." What is the din with the words being mekadesh yadaim and raglaim in the kior? Mimenu amar machmano velo mitocho, that you're allowed to wash your hands from the kior, or what, you can't wash your hands in the kior. So here, Gemara wants to attempt to see whether we can use the kior in a different way than the usual utility is. Normally, you would use a spout, a spigot, to get the water out of it, and you'd be washing your hands from the kior. Question here is, can you put your hands into the kior, dip them into the kior, similar to doing a tvilo, which is what we have in Hilchot Tumah as well, that with regards to Hilchot Tumah, we have certain tumot derabbanan, the yadayim, that require not just intilat yadayim, they require tvilat yadayim into a mikveh. So, in a similar vein, the Gemara is asking with regards to the kior, can you dip your hands and feet into the kior in order to be mitayer yourself? Mimenu amar rachmano, the posuk says that you have to rachtsu aron uvanav mimenu, from it, from the kior, velo betocho, but not internally to it. Odelma afilu bitocho, or maybe even internally, and then mimenu could just mean that you have to use it, not something else. Not using another utensil, but using the kior itself. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Tashma, we can learn from here. O shetaval b'meimara, v'avad avaruto psula. This is the braita that we brought yesterday, in which we described kiddush yadayim raglayim, that is kasher. And then afterwards, we brought a series of items where they were problematic types of kiddush yadayim raglayim, one of which we used to be mitayek in yesterday's daf, but we had the examples that were brought there, kiddush b'kli sharet b'chutz, if you use the kli sharet outside, that's problematic, o b'kli chol b'tnim, or if you use the kli chol in the azara, that's problematic, o shetaval b'mei mara, or you went to the mikveh, Vavad, and then you do avodah, avodotel psula. So here the Gemara is playing on the last of those three, which is if you went to the mikveh and then did the avodah, it's psula. So what you would be midayik out of that is, the problem is that you went to mei ma'ara, that you went to a mikveh. As Rashi described yesterday, mei ma'ara was just their typical mikveh. Their typical mikveh was water that was bashbonen, water that was gathered together from the rainy season. And then they would use it as a mikveh. So they call it mei ma'ara. Although the possibility exists that you can go into Mayim Chaim. You can go into a live river, a live spring, and that would be just fine as well. Just that was their most often used type of mikveh was Mei Me'ara. So here what we're saying is the problem is that you went to a mikveh. But HaMei Kior, Dumya de Mei Me'ara, had it been the waters of the Kior similar to the Mei Me'ara, meaning that you use them in a similar function, which is instead of pouring them on you, you go into them, like you go into a mikveh, you go into the mei kior, va'avad, and he does a vodah, then a vodok shira, his vodah would be fine. Gemara says, though, that is not a good deal, because you have an alternative. Mei mara, it's trichle. The mei mara, in and of themselves, is a chiddush, shalo tomar, so that you don't say, kol gufo tovel behem, yadav raglav lo kol shekein. You would have thought, if you go to the mikveh before you come, the mikveh, we know, is of a higher standard than kiddush yadayim raglayim. Just look at Yom HaKippurim in terms of the Kohen Gadol going to the mikveh. The mikveh is the most central part of it. And then there's kiddush yadayim raglayim that accompany the Kohen Gadol going to the mikveh. But mikveh is something that's mitaher the goof. And if it's mitaher the whole goof, you would assume it captures the hands as well. So you would have had a hanav v'mino that if you went to the mikveh, your hands would be included in that tvila, and then you wouldn't need to do kiddush yadayim raglayim. That's the kamash malan from the braita is, going to the mikveh is not enough. You need to do a kiddush yadayim raglayim independent of that, but once that becomes the chiddush of the braita, then you can't be mitayek. It's only because you used mei mara that it's a problem. Had you used mei kior, it would have been fine to dip into it, because the chiddush that is now coming out of the braita is simply that mikveh in of itself is not enough. And then the havamina, again, would have been that mikveh, which is so powerful, because it takes your body and is betar the body, then certainly it should take care of the hands. There's also more evidence of the fact that the kiddush yadayim raglayim is not associated with tara and tumah at all. It's really associated with preparation or sanctifying of oneself in preparation of doing something. Because over here, you go to the mikveh, if you're talking about tara, there's nothing better than the mikveh. and that should have covered your hands. The fact that it doesn't cover your hands is indicative, again, that the Kiddush Adam Raglayim is independent and irrespective of Tuman Taira, and we saw that a number of times yesterday, but it's really a preparatory type of washing, and also why it is associated with coming to davening and washing Yadayim. You could speak about hygienics, could speak about cleanliness, you could speak about Tumah, but in the end, there's also an aspect of Achol Nikrat Elokecha, that you have to prepare yourself to go before God, and washing one's hands, like Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, is a preparatory stage for entering or stepping before God, irrespective of Tumah, irrespective of hygienics. It is just simply an indication that you're coming to do something of sanctity and something important. And that's why it might be worthwhile to wash one's hands before they daven. Number one, because the Rambam says that it's ma'akev tefillah. It's one of the things that if you don't do it, right, it's problematic in terms of tefillah. But also from the aspect of doing something that indicates you're entering before God, which is hachol nikrat elokecha, that you should prepare yourself to meet your God. In their day, they used to put on a belt or a gartel. That's what the Hasidim do today. Still similar to what they did in the past. The Gemara there in Shabbat describes that the preparations for davening were putting on a belt or doing something that indicated you're going before God. Today where we don't have that, then washing Yadayim gains you that benefit as well, which is not only does it take away the problem for those that believe it's Ma'akev Tefillah, but it also gives you the opportunity to do something as a kiddush, a sanctity towards entering into davening. Alright, so now the Gemara is going to move on to a machloket about the Mei Kiyor. We've gone through this a number of times, and it seems like each time the Gemara goes through it, it ignores the previous sugya, and then it has its own internal assumptions within this sugya. The question is, what is the status of the Mei Kiyor? Now, before, we already had issues because we had Rabbi Lozev, Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi who argue about what the status of Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is. And then we said that Rabbi believes that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim has an expiry with Alot HaShachar. And then Rabbi Lozev, Rabbi Shimon says there is no expiry. Even if you go through Alot HaShachar, as long as you're engaged in Avoda, Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim helps you. The Gemara then asked about that. That is true of the Yadayim. What about the Mei Kiyor? And the Gemara went through different iterations and was inconclusive in many cases as to what the shita of really Rabbi Lozer, Rabbi Shimon is with regards to Mei Kiyor. For Rabbi, as Rashi notes, it's a kosher cane. It's an obvious outcome because if your hands, which no longer have water on them and that are dry, that are an intangible kedusha, they're still affected by the expiry of Alot HaShachar, then certainly the Mei Kiyor, which are inside of a Kli Shara'it, and they are tangible items, certainly they will be affected by Alot HaShachar. So it was almost conclusive that Rabbi, who thinks that Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim is problematic after Alot HaShachar, he would believe the same is true with regards to the Mei Kiyor. For Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, it's a little more circumspect. We don't know. Does he believe that just like it has no impact on the Yadayim, it has no impact on the Mei Kiyor? That was a view that we saw from Ilfa. Machloket bezo, kach machloket bezo. Just like this machloket by Yadayim, it's also machloket by Mei Kiyor. But then we had an alternative view that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon also agreed. Even according to their machloket about Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, when it came to Mei Kiyor, even Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon would agree that there is a problem with the Mei Kiyor when it comes to Alot HaShachar. Now in our Gemara over here, first of all, we're starting out with an assumption that Mei Kiyor are affected by Alot HaShachar. So that's a given. So now, whether that's according to Rabbi, and therefore the Gemara just says Halacha K'Rabbi, and we're moving on. We have a general principle, Halacha K'Rabbi mi Chaveiro, v'lo mi Chaveirav. And over here would be Chaveiro, because it's only Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon argues on him. So that might be the approach of the Gemara here. Or is the Gemara saying this even within the Shita of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, that there is an expiry with regards to the Mei Kiyor, but we'll see later on in the Gemara is going to attempt to suggest that, oh, this might be a difference between Rabbi and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, which would then indicate that they still believe Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon thinks that Mei Kiyor do not expire. So that's just in terms of starting the sugya. The second thing, in terms of the introductory remarks about this, Gemara is going to speak about Avodat Yom and Avodat Laila. We're going to speak about work that's done in the Mikdash during the day and things that are done at night. In terms of Avodat Yom, the examples that are brought here by the Rishonim are Avodat Adam, Zrikat Adam, the Kometz that's done for the Mincha, all these, the Mitzat HaMincha, these are items that are Avodot of Kapara, Avodot of Korbanot, which are only Kshirim during the day. They are otherwise what are known as Matirin. They are the things that are Matir the Korban, which means that either they allow the Korban to be put on the Mizbeach, or they allow those that eat the Korban to eat the Korban, or Matirin, they bring the Kapara to the individual. They are the essential acts of the Korban, and they must be done during the day, and they are, in our Gemara, going to be known under the rubric of Matirin. There's a second group of Avodot, which are Avodat Laila. Avodah that's done in the Mikdash at night, and we know from the Mishnah in Brachot that we daven Ma'ariv connected those Avodot that are done at night, which is connected the Evarim Uptarim, the limbs of the Korbanot that are put on the Mizbeach all night, which is, I would say, the follow-up Avodah that is done. Once you've done the Iker Avodah, then the follow-up or the derivative Avodot can be continued through the night. So if you got a Korban on the Mizbeach during the day, then the residual Shairei HaMitzvah can be done even at night. So that is like the Avodat, the Varim Ibtarim, and those are done both at night and during the day. I mean, it's not to the exclusion of the day, they can be done in the day as well. It's just that sometimes there wasn't sufficient time to deal with them during the day, they have to deal with them at night, especially for the Tamid Shoben Rabbim. If it's done later in the day, then the Varim Ibtarim were going to be put on all night. Just as an aside, that's how the Aruch HaShulchan deals with the problem that comes up in terms of davening mincha and ma'ariv before shkia on Erev Shabbat. He's the only one I know that gives a halachic reason that justifies the practice rather than everybody else just trying to figure out that it's a problem and how do we deal with a bidiyavad situation. He suggests that maybe even the chatfila you can do that or maybe should do that because ma'ariv is connected to varim varim. And we know the rule is that when you bring a korban on Erev Shabbat, you're not allowed to violate Shabbat for that korban. Shabbat, you can violate the laws of Shabbat for a korban brought on Shabbat. But a korban that's brought before Shabbat, on Erev Shabbat, you can't violate Shabbat. That means that for the korban, Tamid Shel Ben Rabbayim, and all the korbanot that were brought on Erev Shabbat, their Evarim and Darim have to be put on the Mizbeach prior to Shabbat. That means that if Ma'ariv is keneged Evarim and Darim, then when should you daven Arvit on Erev Shabbat or on Shabbat is before Shabbat because there was no Evarim and Darim that were put on the Mizbeach overnight from the Korbanot of the previous day. That is his justification for that practice, but he's the only one who really gives a real reason for maybe why there's a reason to daven before Shkia rather than just saying that it was a matter of convenience or was a matter of necessity. He says maybe there's a real reason to do it. So that's just is in a way a background of Matirim and Evarim. In addition, the other halacha that is important here but has no impact is a halacha called Zri'ah. Zri'ah is a mechanism by which if you can attach an object to the mikveh, it'll become one with the mikveh, and then it'll become tahor. So technically, you can only really use it for water, which is that if you replant something, something that is in the ground is not mekabel tumah. Growing items, live items, are not mekabel tumah, with the exception of human beings, but that's why it's called zri'ah. So you can do what's called zri'ah tamayim. You can take water that is tameh in a cup, and you want to be mitahir of the water. What you can do is submerge the cup into the mikveh, and then the water in the cup becomes one with the waters of the mikveh. Then you take it out, and now you have waters that are tahor. You might want to do that because it's potable, drinkable water. That in the mikveh may not be that way. And so therefore you submerge it into the mikveh in a way that it preserves the potable water, the drinkable water, and you take it out of the mikveh. So you mitahir it through zri'ah. That's what you call zri'ah, which is allows you to mitahir it. Over here, it's clearly absent from the Gemara. You would think that is the easiest solution to some of these problems here would simply be to submerge the water again. And that would give you a reset. That's basically what happens. When you put waters into the mikveh, they become like the mikveh and they get a reset, then they are tahorim. So that would have been an easy solution, as we'll see, to many of the problems that come up in today's daf. But both the Baal HaTosafot in Divrei Matzko Kiyor and Shita Mekuvetzet in Od Daled both say the following, V'yesh lamar, de'ein zri'a lehekdesh. When it comes to hekdesh, zri'a doesn't work. And so that solution is taken off the table. That's just a way of introduction. So now, let's look at the sugya. Amar Rav Chir Bar Yosef. Mekior nifsalim lamatirim kimatirim leivarim keivarim. When it comes to the waters of the kior, if they are utilized for matirim, which again we said is synonymous with daytime avoda in the Mikdash, then they also have an expiry similar to the daytime avoda in the Mikdash, which means at the time of shkia, it's done. Le'evarim, for the evarim, then they have the same expiry as the evarim. Evarim is synonymous with avoda laila. That means that their expiry would be at the end of the night or alot ha-shachar. Now, just theoretically, the concept behind Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef's statement is that the mekior themselves are not used in the avoda. They are a preparatory stage. They are a prerequisite for avoda. And so therefore, they don't in of themselves have an expiry date because they don't have any particular purpose. Their purpose is deemed by whatever they're used for, which is that if you washed your hands to do daytime avoda, then they take on the color of daytime avoda. If they wash their hands to do nighttime avoda, then they take on the color of being for nighttime avoda. So the definition of the mekior is determined by the avoda that the kohen is going to do or what they're washing for. The water that's residual in the kior after the washing of the hands, that's what we're speaking about here. So if you wash your hands during the day, then that's good for daytime avoda. Those waters then are going to take on the shape of a daytime avoda and they'll expire at shkiat hachama. If one is washing through the avoda of the Evarim, then that will expire overnight, or will still be good overnight until you reach Alot HaShachar, just like the Evarim and Pidarim. And that's what we said before. Easiest way to refresh it would have been just to submerge it back into the water. That doesn't work over here. That Zriya in Hekdesh doesn't work. Even for the daytime avoda, the waters in the kior, or the residual waters in the kior, only have an expiry at Amud HaShachar. That's when you have to deal with whatever is residual there in the kior. The reason behind Rav Chisda's position, Rashi explains over here, is because this should be no different than any other Kli Sharet in the Mikdash that is Mikdash something. Everything else in the Mikdash, when a Kli Sharet is Mikdash it expires at Lina time, which is Alot HaShachar. So Mekior will be no different than any of those items. And in that way, you get a similar result, which is the expiry is Alot HaShachar. So that's the logic behind Rav Chir Bar Yosef and Rav Chisda. Now, in terms of the meaning of that, so now we'll just go through each of their opinions and try to explain it. For Rav Chir Bar Yosef, if you used it for Matirim, if you washed hands from there to do Avodat Hayom, then, when Shkia comes around, the Mei Kior can no longer be used to wash your hands for daytime avoda. Now, if you put the Kior into the waters down below, you're Shokeya them in the waters down below before Shkia Techama, now you have a good situation, which is that the waters now, you caught them or took care of them before the expiry time. The expiry time was Shkia. If you get them into the ground before the expiry time, they won't expire because you've now connected them with the source before you crossed over the threshold of Shkia. So that'd be important for Rav Chir Bar Yosef's position that you get the water resubmerged prior to Shkia Techama, before sunset. Once you've done that, there are two possibilities of what could happen. You could raise that water in the middle of the night and then take it out to use during the night, or you could wait until after Alot HaShachar the next morning. So the outcomes will be different. If you leave the Mekior in the bor overnight until the Amud HaShachar, then when you pull it out in the morning, then it's kasher for Avodot Yom, Avodot Laila. The waters that you take out now are completely refreshed waters, and you can use them for anything you want. So if you submerge it before Shkia, pull it out after Amud HaShachar, you're in great shape. And now, but the other possibility is that after you submerged it before Shkia, so the waters in the Kior did not go Pasul, then you take it out in the middle of the night. Because there's plenty of people that need to do Avoda in the middle of the night. These are Kohanim coming in, they need to wash, they very Torim. Even for Tumat HaDesh in the morning, we're going to see you doing that in the middle of the night. You pull those waters out, then those waters are only good for Avodat Laila. Because they are used during the nighttime, they're only kasher for Avodat Laila. Now, the truth is that those waters won't be kosher v'avodat halayla, even if you submerge them prior to Alot HaShachar. Even if you re-dip them into the water before Amud HaShachar, that is not going to help you at all for daytime avoda. Once the Mekior became Mekior of nighttime, again, we said you can't do the Zriya. Putting them back in won't change their status. And therefore, they remain only waters that are good for nighttime use, even if you resubmerge them in the water prior to Amud HaShachar. Once you are taking them out at night, if you resubmerge them before Amud HaShachar, then the next day, you can use them, but only for things that are avodat halayla. And that if you resubmerge them before Alot HaShachar, before the expiry time, that keeps them alive for what their purpose was, which was avodat halayla. So that you can do. You can preserve the avodat halayla by resubmerging it before Amud HaShachar. The other hand, if you don't resubmerge it before Amud HaShachar, then those waters are not good for anything. They're not good for avodat yom, because they were taken out at night. And they're not good for avodat halayla, because you crossed over the expiry date of Amud HaShachar. That is just, in a summary, the view of Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. The key threshold for him is clearly Shkiat HaChama. You get the waters in before Shkiat HaChama, they don't go pasul at all. Now, if you take waters out any time during the night, then they are limited. They can never be used for anything except nighttime avoda. The only question is, do you preserve that ability to use them for nighttime avoda by submerging them before Alot HaShachar? Or, if you leave them out past Alot HaShachar, they're going to become psulim the gamre. The only way to get waters that are good for avodat yom is to have it submerged from before Shkia until after Alot HaShachar, and then the waters that you draw after Alot HaShachar will be good for avodat yom and avodat laila. That is the view of Rav Chiya bar Yosef. For Rav Chisda, there's only one expiry date, and that is the matirim and evarim. Everything is at Alot HaShachar. So for him, it's a lot easier. If you get the waters resubmerged prior to Amud HaShachar, then you're clear. Everything is good. Avodat Yom, Avodat Laila, you have a full reset then if you just get it in before Amud HaShachar. You don't get it in before Amud HaShachar, then they're psulim legamre. Can't use them for Avodat Yom, can't use them for Avodat Laila, because you crossed over the threshold for both of them. But either way, for Rav Chisda, it's a lot easier because it's only a single expiry time. And that time is the threshold by which if you get it in before, you're safe. If you don't get it in before that time, then there's no reset of the water. Right now, we had a third opinion. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Kior, Kevan Shishako, Shov Eino Maleu. The Kior, once you put it in the ground, you don't take it out again. Here, implied in Rabbi Yochanan's statement seems to be, he means before Shkiat HaChama, you put it in, and then you don't take it out till after Amud HaShachar. So that would indicate we have a third opinion here. Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is not clear at all, and that's what the Gemara is going to spend time on. First of all, clarifying Rabbi Yochanan's position, and then once we clarify Rabbi Yochanan's position, the remainder of the Gemara is going to be spent on contrasting Rabbi Yochanan's position here with Memrot of Rabbi Yochanan we've had over the last 2 days. We've had a number of Memrot of Rabbi Yochanan about the Mei Kior and about the Kior as a whole. And then we're going to contrast them and try to make sense out of them. So now the Memrot. The Gemara makes an assumption up front. Dil avodat laila nami lo chazi. That if you take it out in the middle of the night, then you will not have a possibility of using that water at all. And Rabbi Yochanan, as opposed to Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef says, look, you can take it out at night, it'll just have that intermediary position, which is, it'll only be kasher for avodat laila, but you can't take it out. From Rabbi Yochanan, it says, once you put it in, you don't take it out. So the Gemara's avamina now is, for Rabbi Yochanan, you can't take it out all night. Goes in for Shkia, comes out after Alot HaShachar, don't touch it overnight. The Balei HaTosafot say, what did you do about all the Kohanim that have to work at night? How do they deal with washing their hands if you don't have the Kior available at night, according to this view in the Gemara? So he gives a number of answers. Some of them are more interesting than others. One of them was that only Kohanim that were in service during the day could continue in service at night. They didn't bring in new Kohanim overnight. The Kohanim that worked during the day would continue into the night. But that means they'd have to go all the way through to Trumat Hadeshin. Trumat Hadeshin is done before Alot HaShachar, and that means that it can only be done by Kohanim that were on call prior to that time all day. So they have to be on during the day and then be on all night. So if they're on call at night, they'd have to wash before Shkia in order to be on all night. Now that does not work so well because the Mishnah and Yoma and the other Mishnayot seem to indicate that the new Kohanim were the ones who ran to do the Trumat Hadeshin in the morning. they didn't make a pious, they didn't make a lottery for it because people had to get up. They had to wake up early to do it, and we were afraid people wouldn't get up because they thought they'd lose the lottery. So therefore we left it open to anybody who gets there can do the Trumat Hadeshen and the Otzat Hadeshen. But that means that they were really speaking about Kohanim that had slept and got up in the morning. So this answer, the Baalei Tosafot in the Zohar, it wouldn't be so great. But he gives also an alternative, which will become more apparent later in the daf as well, which is the possibility of putting the Mekior into a Kli Sharet. If you put the Mekior into Kli Sharet, you can also use them from the Kli Sharet. So the way to deal with it would be to have a separate utensil that has the Mekior in it. It's almost like a nighttime Kior that would work, or you have a Kli Sharet that works when the Kior is out of service. So you'll fill the waters into that Kli Sharet, and that Kli Sharet would then be the way to deal with it. There is another possibility, which is a little more difficult, which is the possibility that Rabbi Yochanan is only saying this midrabanan, that the psul, or the problem here, is only rabbinic in nature. Therefore, it would not prevent you from actually doing it, meaning that if you did do it, then it would be possible to wash your hands. V'amar Rabbi Yasi, amar Rabbi Yochanan mishmei de'ilfa. Here we start to bring in other memorot of Rabbi Yochanan. Kior, shaloshak omi be'erif. If you didn't put the kior into the waters down below before shkiat hachama, then mikadesh mimenu la'avodat laila. You're allowed to use it for avodat laila. Ulemachar enu mikadesh. But on the next day, you can't use it any longer. Seemingly, you have a stira in Rabbi Yochanan's two positions over here. You have one position in Rabbi Yochanan that even for avodat laila, it would be no good at all. If you put it in at night, it's got to stay there overnight, and it can't come out till the morning. That means you can't wash your hands at night from the kior, period. Then we have this other statement from Ilfa, which is that once the kior is left out overnight, then you can use the waters in the kior for nighttime avoda. You just can't use it the next day. Now, given that, you have a problem here. In one case, Rabbi Yochanan saying it's completely invalid overnight. The other case, you're saying, oh, no problem. You can, if you keep it out, you can wash all night with it. So now Gemara says, my enu ma'alehu. So now we have to reinterpret what the word enu ma'alehu means. When Rabbi Yochanan says you submerge it, you can't take it out. Nami de kamar l'avodat yom. You can't take it out and use it for avodat yom. Avodat laila chazi. But for nighttime avoda, then it would be good. So now we're reinterpreting Rabbi Yochanan's statement and saying that if you pull out the kior overnight, so then you can use it for avodat laila. Or if you never submerged it by shkia time, then the waters can be used for avodat laila. His statement about ein maleu is a statement about the morning. You can't use these waters for the morning unless you keep it submerged overnight. But if you take it out during the night, or you never put it in during shkia, then the waters will be good for overnight avoda, but they just won't be good for morning avoda. And what should be ringing in your head now is, Ihachi, Hainu de Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. That's exactly Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef's position. Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef said exactly that. Waters that are taken out during the night are only good at night. You want to have them be good for the morning, then you either got to dump those waters, or you got to put it in before Shkia and not take it out until after Alot HaShachar. So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef now are identical. Once they're identical, why is Rabbi Yochanan bringing up third position over here? He just should have said, I hold like Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. And that would be a much easier way to express it, because he's not disagreeing with Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. So Gemara says, Ike beinayu, gzeirat shikua. The difference between them is a gzeira with regards to shikua. I'm going to follow Rashi's explanation throughout the sugya. I'll try to point out where the Baalei Tosafot differ from Rashi. But the gzeirat shikua over here is, do we worry about the fact that they're not going to get it submerged overnight? The way that Rashi explains it over here is that Rabbi Yochanan really holds inherently like Rav Chisda. He really holds like Rav Chisda that overnight has no impact. Shkia has no impact whatsoever on the waters. So then why does he want you to submerge it before Shkia Tachama? Because that's Gzeirat Shikua. Rav Chiya bar Yosef, we know his position. His position is that Shkia is a cutoff. And then afterwards, you have Alot HaShachar as a cutoff. You can bring it out during the night, but just know that the waters that you bring out during the night are only going to be useful during the night. We're worried about that you're not going to get the kior back in before Alot HaShachar. So Rav Chisda says, we don't worry about that. You'll get it back in. Everybody knows you got to get the QRN. We're not worried. Close to the morning, they'll make sure to get it back in and submerged. Now, according to Rashi, what Rabbi Yochanan is saying is, I don't hold like Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. I hold like Rabbi Chista. Rabbi Chista says that a lota shachar is the cutoff. And that's the only thing that matters. If you get it in before a lota shachar, you're fine. But then why does Rabbi Yochanan make you put it in before shkia? So the answer to that is gzeirat shikua. It's a gzeira. What we're worried about is, if you don't submerge it early on, what's going to end up happening is it's going to get left out overnight. And that is because when a kohen comes in the middle of the night and say he takes out the kior, when he takes out the kior and uses it, he says, you know what? I'm going to leave it here because it's a lot of work to put it down and bring it back up. There are all these other kohenim that are going to come overnight. And he's going to end up leaving it out. And basically what you're going to get is a diffusion of responsibility. And the kior will never end up being resubmerged. And if it's not resubmerged for Rav Chista, that's much more impactful. Because if you submerged it before Lota Shachar for Rav Chista, that would have been a reset on the water. And you'd be able to use the water all day for daytime and nighttime avoda. So what Rabbi Yochanan says is, get it in before Lota Shachar, because then everything will be kasher. But then there's a mitzvah, a takanat chachamim, to ensure that it's done before shkia, because of zera, shemi pasha, because so they don't make a mistake, and that'll cause a psul. But meantime, what Rabbi Yochanan does say is that you can take it out during the night. But two things. One is, if it's already submerged when you take it out, you're more likely to resubmerge it. Because you found it that way, you're going to return it to that state. Whereas if you find it not submerged, the likelihood that you're going to submerge it now is very low. So for that reason, Rabbi Yochanan has this gzeira, get it in before shkia. So if you get it in before shkia, anybody watching at night is going to know, or is going to be reminded of the fact that it needs to be resubmerged, and that will protect us and take care of the situation. That is the view of Rashi. And if you look at the Tosfot Haggadah down below, he tells you that that explanation of Rashi is very difficult for a number of reasons, including the fact that the Gemara doesn't mention right away Hainu de Rav Chista. And then Rabbi Yochanan is aligning with Rav Chista. And number two is then there's a huge difference between the view of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. Because here at Shikua, it's just one little thing. What about the fact that Shkia is posel for Avodat Yom? And one of the things that Shkia is not posel for Avodat Yom? And if you're shokei it before, if you put it back in and resubmerge it before Lota Shachar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's totally fine. According to Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef, that's totally problematic. So what the Baalei Tosafot suggests is that the Gzeirat Shikua, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is not simply that that's the best way to do it, but rather, Kach Nirli, the Gzeirat Shikua, Im Lo Yishku'u, Ye Pasul Mi Derabanan, Abudat Dam, Mishom, Lina, Afilu Shako B'mod Shachar, that if you don't put it back in at night, B'shkia, then you're going to have a problem of Gzeirat Derabanan that make it Pasul. Derabchia Ye Pasul Min HaTorah. According to Rabbi Chiya, it'll be psul min haTorah, and the difference between them will be whether the psul here is a psul derabbanan or a psul deoraita. So even within Rashi's shita, the Baalei Tosafot suggests that the position of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef are very similar. You got to get it in before shkia. You don't get it in before shkia, according to Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. Next morning, even if you get it in before lota shachar, it's going to be psul for avodat hayom midoraita. And Rabbi Yochanan says, even if you get it in before Lota Shachar, it's going to be Posomi Derabanan, Avodat Yom. So they both agree that Shkia is a cutoff. It's a question if it's a cutoff Doraita or a cutoff Midorabanan. That's within the Sheet of Rashi. The other hand, the Baalei Tosafot themselves suggest, it's not that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rabbi Chista, but rather he holds like Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef. That either the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef is a question of whether you should bring it out at night. He holds like Rabbi Chiya bar Yosef inherently. But the question is, should you bring it out at night or not? And Rabbi Yochanan says, don't bring it out at night, because you may forget then to resubmerge it before Lota Shachar. And if you resubmerge it before Lota Shachar, at least you protect its properties to be used for nighttime avoda. But if you don't put it back in, you're going to make it pasul de gamre. And that's what we worry about. Rabbi Yosef says, you allow them to use it during avoda delayla, and we assume they're going to get it back in before Lota Shachar. That's one possible difference between them. Or, if you allow you to take it out during the night, because you put it in before shkia, you might get the mistaken impression that once you put it in before shkia and take it out after shkia, similar to the way it works for Rav Chista by Alota Shachar, then the waters that you use at night will not only be good for night, they'll also be good for use during the day. What his fear is that people will think, since you got the kior back in before shkia, that in of itself works the same way that a lota shakra works. We said before, if you get it in before a lota shakra according to Rav Chisda, that's a complete reset, and you can do anything you want with it. So what people are going to think is, we got it in before shkia, that's a complete reset. Then when you take it out at night, you're going to end up washing your hands and thinking that's good enough for the day also. We got the reset before shkia. So now when you take it out after shkia, you're totally fine. Not only for night, you're fine for all day now. Because you hit the reset button at shkia. I mean, if you hit the reset button at lota shakra, so we're worried about that. So first of all, we have a fear that you're not going to get it back in. And we have a fear that if you do it before shkia and then allow people to take it out during the night, that people are going to think that the waters that you take out during the night are problematic. Rabbi Mechir Bar Yosef says, you put it in before shkia, and then you take it out at night, at will, whenever you want to use it. We just assume you're going to put it back in because you took it out. Bilchanan says, you put it in at shkia, don't touch it until alot shachar. Don't touch it until alot shachar. That's gzer mishum shikua. We don't allow you to draw it the entire night, because you might come to a mistaken conclusion. Because you got it in before shkia, when you draw it in the night, you're going to think that water is good for everything. You're going to think that water is totally reset. And now if you wash during the night, you're good for the night and the day, because you did the reset before shkia. So then, and that way, he holds like Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef. But then you have the ilfa issue, which is, what happens in the case, shalso shak o mi be'erev. If you didn't put it in before be'erev, then you don't have a problem, because the whole zera is put in place, because you put it in before shkia to hit the reset button. That's where we have a fear, if you take it out during the night, there's going to be a problem. But if you don't put it in before shkia, everybody knows now that the water that's being used at night is clearly only good for nighttime, because you crossed over the shkia threshold and you didn't have it submerged then. So at that point, we don't worry about it. If he's lo shako, then you can use it all night until the morning and make sure that you get it back in. Now, we prefer that you do that because we want you then to be able to, first of all, protect it from going pasul. But that does allow you the opportunity. If you don't put it in, then that whole gzera doesn't apply of shikua, because we're not afraid of that wrong conclusion of the kohenim coming about. Now, here the question comes up, and this is the question that you were asking, why does it matter that you get it submerged? If you have waters in the kior overnight, for a clear by Yosef, and then you resubmerge the kior, the only thing that does for you is make it good to continue using them for Avodat Laila. It doesn't help for Avodat Hayom. For Avodat Hayom, you have to take out new waters anyway. So why bother to be Shokeya? Why not just leave the waters out? It doesn't do anything for you. And then afterwards, go and dump them, and then you'll refill in the morning after Alot HaShachar. Why go through all of this trouble? So there are two things that come out of this. The first of that is that we have a principle, Eimi V'im Kodashim the Beit Psul, that we do not intentionally try to make waters or anything in the Mikdash Pasul. We try to preserve its status as long as possible. And that's what the Shita Mekubetzet, he says in Odalit on the previous Amud. So the Yesh Lomar, Mishum Hachi, Lo Avid Hachi, they don't do this. Shame V'im Kodashim the Beit Psul. You don't try to bring Kodashim to Beit HaPsul. We try as much as possible to preserve the elevated status of Kodesh as long as we can. So if we can resubmerge it and protect it, we will do that. That's number one. Number two is, you're now in a situation where when you resubmerge the Kior and bring it back out, you have this water in the Kior that's only good for nighttime Avoda. Meantime, you need new water in there to use during the day. What do you do with that water that's there? So here again, the Shita Mekubetzet, the Baal Tosafot say something similar, which is, Yesh Lomar, the Machar Yunotim Otan, Maim Shenifsalu, B'Kli Sharet Acher. They dump that water into another Kli Sharet, and in that way, it's still usable. Remember, we just said before, you're allowed to use a Kli Sharet to wash your hands from as an alternative to the Kior. So in that way, you preserve the integrity of the waters for a longer time, and then you're able to refill the Kior. So Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef, again, if you take out the Kior overnight, then you have a problem because the waters then are only useful for nighttime type of avoda. In the morning, you're going to need to refill it. So first of all, Rabbi Chiya Bar Yosef says, don't worry, we know that they're going to put it back in and submerge it before the morning. Well, even if they submerge it before the morning, why do we really care? It's only good for waters for overnight. That is because the Imi Vim Otami Dei Psul. So we try to preserve them and make sure we submerge it. What do you do now? You have a Kior full of water that's only useful for nighttime avoda or Varim and Tarim. What are you going to do with the daytime avoda? The answer is you'll spill that out into a kli sharet, preserve its integrity, and then you'll refill the kior for the morning avoda. That is the view of Rav Chiya Bar Yosef. That's the way the Baal Yad Tosfot read it, that's the difference of gzeret shikua between Rav Chiya Bar Yosef and Rabbi Yochanan. Whereas Rashi's reading is, it's that Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav Chisda, and he looks like Rav Chir Bar Yosef because of Zerat Shikua, but not that he really is in the Shita of Rav Chir Bar Yosef. But then we run into another problem because we have another member of Rabbi Yochanan. Bamar Rabbi Yochanan, Kidei Shiadav L'Tumata Deshen. If he washed his hands for Tumata Deshen, the Machar ain't Sarich L'Kadesh. The next day, he doesn't have to be Mikadesh. Shrak Kidesh Mitzchilat Abudah. Because he already started doing the Avodat Hayom. So now you seemingly have a contradiction. Now, the contradiction is different for Rashi and the Tosafot. For Rashi, the contradiction here is, you pulled it out before Alot HaShachar. And according to Rashi, Rabbi Yochanan's whole Zera is, you need it submerged, so that it's submerged at Alot HaShachar. Here he's pulling it out for Trumat HaDeshen, and it never mentions over there that you have to resubmerge it. Wait a minute, why not? That's so important to Rabbi Yochanan, that you get it back in before Alot HaShachar. So how is it, he says, wash your hands for Trumat HaDeshen, totally ignores the fact that you got to resubmerge it. That's an important factor for Rabbi Yochanan. So that's the question according to Rashi. According to Rashi, the etzem davar that you're taking it out is not a problem because we just assume when you take it out for a particular avoda that you're going to resubmerge it. It's not like when you take it out in the middle of the night and then maybe say, oh, other people are going to use it, I'm not going to put it back. Here's Spirka taking it out for a particular purpose of Trumat HaDeshen, we assume he's going to put it back in. The real question is, why doesn't he mention the fact that he's got to get it back in? Because of the fact that Alot HaShachar is coming, and that's important for Rabbi Yochanan to have it resubmerged before Alot HaShachar. Because he has Gezeret Shikua, it's got to be in there when Alot HaShachar comes. Or, according to the Tosfot Hagah that explains Rashi, the question is that you see here he washes during the middle of the night, and it's Kasher Midrabanan. When, according to what we just said before, Rabbi Yochanan thinks that if you didn't put it in from Shkia all the way to the morning, any washing done there would be Pasul. Over here, you're washing in the night, Trumat HaDeshen, and it's still kasher for the yom. So that undermines what you're saying about Gezeret Shikua. Whereas for the Bali and Tosafot, it's a much more obvious stira. The question is, how can you bring it up at all? Because of the Gezeret Shikua means it must be remained there all night. He holds like Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef. He holds like Rabbi Chir Bar Yosef. You have a cutoff at Shkia, and then you have a cutoff at Alot HaShachar. If that's the case, how could it be that you washed your Yadayim for Trumat HaDeshen, and then you're good to do Avodah all day? Alot HaShachar should have been a cutoff, and you should have a problem now because of Alot HaShachar. So that is your stira now. So didn't we already deal with this issue with regards to Trumat HaDeshen? And we had two answers. We had the answer of Rabba, and we had the answer of Abaye. Rabba's answer is to say, Rabbi Yochanan's statement here is according to Rabbi Lazar for Rabbi Shimon. That's what, going back to the introduction that we gave to this section, that this believes that Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon holds that the soul of Lina does not apply to the hands, so not only for Yadayim, but also does not apply to the Mei Kiyor. So now we say, Bishlam Ola Rabba, according to Rabba who said the Mukim Lahayik Rabbi Lozer Rabbi Shimon, he said that that statement of Rabbi Yochanan that said when you wash your hands for Trumat HaDeshen, that you don't have to wash again for your daytime avoda, that was according to Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon, who thinks that Alot HaShachar is not an expiry time. Given that, you don't have to wash it again because you crossed over a threshold that's not meaningful for Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. There's no expiry. So then all you have to do is say that you have two different statements. You have one statement according to the Shita of Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Shimon. That's the statement that if you wash for Trumat HaDeshen, you don't need to wash again during the day. The other statement of Rabbi Yochanan about worrying about Alot HaShachar, say you need to have a Gzera Shikua, you need it submerged before Alot HaShachar, that's why you have to put it in before Shkia, which according to Rashi means he's saying this in Rav Chisda's din, that Alot HaShachar is the only threshold, Hakarabi. That's according to Rabbi, who says that Alot HaShachar is a threshold not only for Yadayim, but also for the Mei Kiyor, and all of that is in the Shita of Rabbi. That's an easy way to solve the problem, which is just to divide up the memory of Rabbi Yochanan. One is under the view of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon, who says that Alot HaShachar is not an important threshold. Therefore, if you wash for Trumat HaDeshen, you don't have to worry about your avoda all day. You can keep going, even though you crossed over Alot HaShachar. The whole Gzeret Shikua and the idea that we want the Kiyor submerged before Alot HaShachar, because we're worried about the threshold of Alot HaShachar, that's according to Rabbi, who thinks that Alot HaShachar is an important threshold. Elal Abaye. But for Abaye, the Mokim like a Rabbi, who said that even that statement of Rabbi Yochanan, that if you wash for Trumat HaDeshen, you don't have to wash again for the morning. If you remember, he said that even that is according to Rabbi, because Rabbi believes in that short window, we don't worry about the person making a mistake, because it's Tchilat Avodat Hayom. that it's really avodat hayom, and therefore it's not problematic, but also because the psul of lina and alot hashachar is only derabbanon. And since it's only derabbanon, Rabbi said with the short amount of time between transition and the morning, and at the beginning of avodat hayom, we're not worrying about that gzeira derabbanon. We're dealing with things that are much more elongated in time duration. Then the Chachamim said that there is a psulina at alot hashachar. But then now, how are you going to explain these two statements of Rabbi Yochanan? In one statement, he's saying, don't worry about alot hashachar. In the other statement, he's saying, do worry about alot hashachar. So which one is it? Do we worry about it or we do not worry about it? So now for Abaye, it's a kasha de Rabbi ad Rabbi. You have two positions in Rabbi. One position Rabbi says, alot hashachar is not important. The other one he says it is. Maishna hotam de mishakale. What's the difference? It's like the Shita Rashi. What's the difference that by the case over here, where Rabbi Yochanan says you gotta get the water back in, therefore we make you put it in before Shkia to remind you all night to make sure that it's submerged before Alot HaShachar, and we are importantly focused on that, yet Maishna Hocha Delo Meshakale. Why over here in this case does it, we don't worry about that? Say to the Kohen, go ahead, wash your hands with Tumat Hadeshen. Totally absent from the statement is, put it back in. Make sure you get the kior back in the water. That's like such an important factor here. How come he's ignoring that? To Mesalakele, Valder Meshakele, and Okanami. He takes out the water to wash his hands from Tumat Hadeshen, and then he re-submerges it back in. Why didn't he mention it? That's because that's not the focus of that statement of Rabbi Yochanan. That statement of Rabbi Yochanan is not focused on the kior, it's focused on the Kohen and the Kohen's hands. Over there he's saying, if you wash your hands for Tumat Hadeshen, then you're good for all day. That's the focus of the statement. He's not dealing with the kior. You're right. As far as the kior is concerned, you got to pull it out, and you got to put it back in. And that way now we've reconciled the two statements of Rabbi Yochanan, even though they're both according to Rabbi. Then what are you going to do with the member of Rabbi Yochanan before that said, kior shalosh akumi be'erev, mikadesh mimenu levadat laila, ulamachar eno mikadesh, that if you do not submerge the kior overnight, meaning getting it in before Alot HaShachar, then you can use it at night, but you can't use it after that point in time. Amai, why can't you use it after that point in time? You're saying that according to Rabbi, if you wash with Tumat Hadeshen prior to Alot HaShachar, that's good for the whole day, then why can't it be the same of the Mei Kior? Mar says, he meant it to read, ain't Tzarich LeKadesh. Tell you that you don't have to do Kiddush, that it's not necessary to do Kiddush afterwards, because there's no psulina with regards to this. That means that if you washed your hands for the purposes of Avodah Trumat Hadeshen, then you can continue going through the day. And the same thing here. If the water was not submerged, but since you used it to wash for the purposes of Avodah, that is the beginning of Avodah Tayom, then you don't have to wash again. And that's what it means. Machari no Mekadesh means Ein Tzarich Mekadesh, because he washed at that time. Mar says, the Memra, from what you're suggesting over here, that you brought it up to wash your hands with Tumat Hadeshen and then resubmerged it so that it would be then submerged during Alot HaShachar, that if you submerge it before Alot HaShachar, that means that it's totally fine for washing during the day, and Alot HaShachar is a complete reset. Hainu de Rav Chista. That's exactly Rav Chista's Shita now, that you're saying that you don't need to have it in before Shkia, and you're saying that Shkia is not a threshold, but rather Alot HaShachar is a threshold. That's exactly Rav Chista's position. So then what's the difference between Rav Chista and Rabbi Yochanan? Or you could say, like what Rashi suggests over here, that that member of Rabbi Yochanan is dealing with a question in Rabbi Lozim Rabbi Shimon. And that's what it means. Eino mikadesh means ain't tzarich lekadesh. Because the Lota Shachar has no impact on it. But that statement was made in the position of Rabbi Lozim Rabbi Shimon. And then coming back here to the statements that are made in the position of Rabbi, the Memra, Dilamaterim Michsei Chazi. That means that if you get it in before the Lota Shachar, that even according to Rabbi, it would be fine. Haimu de Rav Chista. Then now you have Rabbi Yochanan being exactly like Rav Chista. Ika Beinayu, Mitzvah Shikua. Same thing again, the Mitzvah Shikua, which is the difference between them. Meaning that, according to Rav Chista, they don't have to make any Chumrah. There's no Mitzvah to be Shokeya it. But right before Amod HaShachar, we assume they're going to get it in and they're going to put it in. According to Rabbi Yochanan, there is this extended gzeirah, that before Shkia, we want you getting it into the waters, resubmerging it, because that'll remind anybody who pulls it up during the night that they've got to resubmerge it later on. Although the Shita Megubet said in Ot Vav does think that Rav Chista believes, like Rabbi Yochanan, that you do have to put it in at the time of Shkia, and the difference between them is whether you're allowed to take it out during the night. As opposed to the possibility that mitzvah shikua, according to Rabbi Yochanan, they have to submerge it before Shkia, in order to remind you anytime you take it out, they have to resubmerge it. Whereas Rabbi Chista, you just have to put it in right before Alot HaShachar. But that explanation is a little hard with the Lashon of Rabbi Yochanan that says, Kem Shishako Shkiyat HaChama, Shub Ein Ma'aleyu. And that makes it sound like everybody agrees that you have to put it in Shkiyat HaChama, and the difference is whether you're allowed to take it out. So in that way, the Shita Mekubetz, it says, even Rav Chista agrees, you put it in at Shkiyat HaChama. The only question is, are you allowed to take it out during the night? Rav Chista says you can take it out during the night. Since you submerged it, people will remember to put it back in. So Rabbi Yochanan says you can't take it out until the morning by Tumat HaDeshen. Well, you can take it out and then resubmerge it then, because having it in all night will remind you to keep it submerged before Alot HaShachar. So over here, for Rashi, Gzirat Shikua and Mitzvah Shikua turn out to be the exact same thing. Because in both cases, Rabbi Yochanan holds like Rav Chista, and the Gzera or Mitzvah Shikua is basically that we want you to do it early to remind you through the night. And you can actually see that in the Shita Gumbetz that he says, Vod Kasha the Chol Perishim. Maishna Ocha the Garcina Gzera Shikua. Ulukaman Garcina Mitzvah Shikua. Kol Echadu. Kach Nira Ke Perish Vishon. Like the Perish of the Bali Tosafot. The problem here is that Rabbi Yochanan doesn't allow you to take it out all night, because if you did take it out at night, you would think that those waters were also good for the daytime avoda, and that would be a serious problem. For the Bali HaTosafot, there's actually a difference between them. Mitzvah Shikua is like what Rashi explained before, and now the Bali HaTosafot are saying, which is that you have a mitzvah to put it in before Shkia to remind you through the night to make sure that anybody who takes it out puts it back in. Zerat Shikua, according to the Bali HaTosafot, was when we thought of Yochanan and Rabbi Yosef were the same. And the Gzera was because we were afraid if you put it in before Shkia and pulled it out during the night, they would think that water is kosher even for the day. So that was a Gzera to ensure don't take it out during the night so that you don't have that misconception. So for the Bali HaTosafot, Gzera Shikua is actually different than Mitzvah Shikua. Over here, Mitzvah Shikua, that's the best way to do it in order to prevent the problem from happening. That's what Rashi says previously also. So let me say Gzera Shikua is you must put it in and you can't take it out because of that. And it's a different term. Exactly right. That's partly why the Bali HaTosafot explain it differently. In one case, it's a Gzera Shikua. In one case, it is a mitzvah shikua. It says, Beitavei, lo ayu ro'im oto. So we're quoting this Mishnah again from Yoma, that they, when he went in to do the Tumat HaDeshen, nobody could see him. Again, the Tumat HaDeshen is done at night. It's done in pitch black. It says there that he used to do it by the fire of the Maracha. That's what lit the way for the Kohen who's going in to do the Tumat HaDeshen. Ve'lo shum imet kolo, and he can't hear anything. He's not doing any avoda. He's not doing anything mechanical. And he's going in pitch black. You have no sensation of where he is. Ad, shishamim kol shel eich shasabo katin, muchne de kior. Until you hear the mechanism that Ben Katin had put in place for the drawing of the water from the mei kior. Vein omrim. When they hear that noise, higia eit kidush yadayim regalayim mina kior. They say, ah, now it's time to go wash. And then you had all the Kohenim running to go wash in order to do, as Rashi said yesterday, either Hotzat HaDeshen or the piling of the ashes into the Tapuach in the middle, according to the Rambam, Hotzat HaDeshen, because they did it every day. But that's the Kohenim that are following up to him. What you hear from here is, my love, Dimisalikle. When does it make the noise? You have to use this pulley system or whatever the mechanism was to draw the water. To put the bucket back in or submerge the kior, you don't have to use the mechanism because it's not something that is working against gravity. You're working with gravity. Then you can just drop it and it'll fall in. The problem is when you are bringing it out, you need something that helps you to bring it back out. That is done with this mechanism. My love, the misalik lay, isn't the case here that he's taking it out. That's what makes the noise, because he has to draw the kior out of the water and use the mochni, which creates all that noise. Alma, but from that you see the mishakale, that it was previously submerged. Why would you need to lift it? Elim Kane was submerged previously. And then that's a problem for Rav Chista, who says you only have to put it in right before Alot HaShachar. Tumat HaDeshen is done before Alot HaShachar. So now, why can't you submerge it after that point in time? Why is it submerged at this time? It says, lo, the mishakale. Now, not that he was drawing it up, but he was lowering it down. If he's lowering it down, why does it make any noise? You don't need the mechanism to lower the object back in, because you use gravity and it'll just drop back down. You don't have to use the mukni in order to do that. So it says, Meshakalei Megilgalo, he actually puts it back with the mechanism, and he lowers it with the mechanism, maybe partly to protect the kior from dropping too fast or smashing when it hits the water, or even possibly to help with the kior being submerged into the water. But he uses that mechanism, and it makes the same noise going down as it does then with raising the kior. Lishna Achrina, according to Rashi, the Lishna Achrina is just a difference in language, not a difference in content, which is the Meshakalei Bechumrate, that he used the mechanism to put it back down, in order that he can make the noise. Although you could possibly explain that this difference is the difference in what people thought the Mukhni actually did, and therefore there are different names to it. Gilgala makes it sound like that's some sort of pulley system or mechanism from getting it up. And Chumrate might be some other type of mechanism, which is not that the kior was submerged, but rather it was used for drawing of the water and bring the water up and down, but not necessarily the kior itself. Or according to the way the Balei Tosafot learned over here, he actually submerged it in order to bring it back up so it'll make noise. Rashi thinks the noise is made by lowering it with the galgala. Galgala would say they lowered it in order to be able to re-raise it to make the noise on the way up. You can see that in Tosfot, what he says, Yesh lomar deha, dekamar meshakalei begalgala lebor. Kol shenishmain ubehotzio min habor amaleu. He submerges it and then brings it back up in order to make the noise. And then in that way, that's exactly the difference between the two lashonot. In the first lashon, they submerged in order to raise it again with the galgala to make the noise. The second version is, chumrate, that the lowering mechanism also made noise. And that's how they did it. It was meshakale, means that after he finished his washing, he submerged it before lo deshachar, and that's what made the noise. So for that is the nafkamina between the two, according to the Balei Tosafot. But according to Rashi, it seems no distinction between the two. It's just different names for the same mechanism that was put in, ben katin. Vileshame vilete, and then they'll hear it and come. Vahave gvine cruz. What about the fact that there was the wake-up man in the Mikdash? Here, the Gemara in Yoma has this Kavine Cruz. Rashi over here says it was a particular individual. It's the name of the individual who was the wake-up man, town crier. And the Mishnah in Yoma that discusses some of this speaks about certain families or people who were particularly talented at doing this, or that they lived in this generation of when the Tana said it. And Kavine Cruz was the name of the guy who did the wake-up for the Kohanim. And he used to make a call. So if they're waking up the Kohanim by him calling out or Gvinei Cruz, then why do you need the noise from the Mokhne to wake them up? Beitrei Hekeri Havu Abdei. You need a snooze button. You have to have two Hekerim. The Shama Mihai Ati, the Shama Mihai Ati. The one who hears the Mokhne comes, and the one who hears Gvinei Cruz comes. Yeah, different things awaken different people, different noises awaken different people. So we had two different mechanisms for waking up the Kohanim in the morning. And so you had both of these mechanisms. Kufa. Now the Gemara goes back and says, Am Rav Yosef Rebuchina Kokior, Sheimbo the Kadesh Arba'a Kohanim Imenu, Eim Kachimbo. This is a little while ago, back on Daf Yutet. We said that the Kior's water must contain sufficient water for four Kohanim to wash from. Otherwise you can't wash from the Kior. I mean, there's a minimum amount of water that needs to be in the Kior. Shinemar, Rakatsum Imenu Moshe Baronu Banav. We discussed back then why that's four, and the problems with that and possible solutions to that. We discussed that in Daf Yutet. Meiteve, is that really true? Kol hakelim mikadshim ben sheish b'hem rivit, ben she'ein b'hem rivit, u'bad shiyu kli sharet. Over here it sounds like any type of kli sharet is mikadish waters, that you can be mikadish yadayim from them, whether it has a rivit worth in there, or whether it has less than a rivit worth of water in there. U'bad shiyu kli sharet. As long as it's a kli sharet, you can wash from it, irrespective of the amount of water that is contained inside of it. So Rashi says over here, Apagav de'ikar, be'inan shiura, gabe netila yadayim, even though there's a minimum standard of water for netila yadayim, you have to have a minimum of a revi'it in order to wash yadayim. The gabe kiddush lo be'inan shiura. For kiddush yadayim, you don't need any minimum shiur. That's Rashi's conclusion. Whereas the Balei Tosafot say, ve'esh lamar, de netila yadayim nami, ki yesh bo revi'it, nolim afilu lishnayim. If you have a minimum of a revi'it in the not law, when you wash yadayim, then over there you can wash more than one person's hands. If you start with a revi'it, then you don't need a revi'it to wash. A revi'it allows you to wash multiple people's hands. So Here's a case where it originally had a revi'it in it, and now even though it's less than a revi'it, you can still wash from it because it's shayarei revi'it, and therefore you can wash from it multiple people. So Rashi seems to indicate that there is no shiur for kiddush yadayim raglayim. Bali Tosfot seem to preserve that there is a shiur. We're using the same logic that applies to netilat yadayim, which is that if you would start out with the revi'it, you can continue to use it even when it's below a revi'it. But that means that certainly you don't have enough to wash for Kohanim's hands from these Kli Sharet with less than a revi'it of water. So then how does that match up with what you said, that the Kiyur has a minimum standard? Where over here, you're dealing with much less. Amar Ravader Baracha B'Kodeach B'Tocho. It's a case where you drill a hole into the side of the Kiyur, and then you take waters from the Kiyur into this bucket. So this bucket basically becomes a residual of the Kiyur. Again, somewhat akin to what you're saying. It's not that they're independent, but if your origins are from the Kiyur, then since the Kiyur had the minimum standard, the derivative bucket from there is covered by the minimum standard inside of the Kiyur. You can see that in Tosafot, Kodeach B'Tocho. Shlo tell me Memav V'Kli Katan, V'Kshira L'Kadesh came in Ba'in M'Kli Gadol. Because they come from a larger Kiyur, then they're imbued with the Kedusha of the Kiyur because they are now a subset of the Kiyur. So that's the way Bali Tosafot learn it. Rashi, on the other hand, has a much more narrow definition. Since you drill a hole in the side of the Kiyur, you put a bucket there, but that bucket remains attached to the Kiyur, and that bucket is sharing the water with the Kiyur. And therefore, the minimum standard of the Kiyur also helps for the minimum standard of the bucket there. And the Gemara says, wait a minute. Ba'ami menu amai rachmano. So we came back. We discussed it at the beginning of today's daf. Now we're coming back to it. The word mimenu can have different meanings. Mimenu can mean you have to take the water out, not go into it. Mimenu can also mean from it and not from a kli sharet. So that's why the Gemara here is invoking mimenu to mean not a kli sharet. So your chatzu l'rabot kli sharet. It says there, your chatzu, which is an extraneous word in the pasuk, because the pasuk begins. V'chatzu aronu banam mimenu et yudeyem v'et ragleyem. Then, v'vo'am ha'omoed yichatzu mayim v'lo yamutu. What do you mean yichatzu mayim? You already said v'rachatzu. So the verb yichatzu is extraneous to come to include a kli sharet. If that's the case, why can't you use any utensil? Why does it have to be a kli sharet? In particular, Amar Abaye kli chol lo matzid amar t'mikav chomer. It's a kama chomer mikano, from the base of the kiyor. Makano, the base of the kiyor, shinim shach imo, which was anointed, imbued with kedusha, just like the kiyor itself. Enu mikadesh, you can't use that for kiddush yadayim raglayim, the base. Klichol, she'enu nimshach imo, enu din she'enu mikadesh. That's certainly a klichol that was not mikudash with the kiyor itself. Certainly that should not be able to be used. If the kano is no good, then the kiyor itself should be no good. The kano minalan, how do you know the base of the kiyor can't be used? The tanya of Yudomer, yocho ye kano mikadesh, kederach she'a kiyor mikadesh. You would think the base can be used to be mikadesh. Just like the kiyor is used to be mikadesh. Tamalomar, vasita kiyor nechoshet. V'chano nechoshet. Tells you to make the kiyor out of copper, and it tells you to make the base out of copper. Le'nechoshet hikashtiv v'lo ledavar acher. The hekesh between them is solely for nechoshet and not anything else. In essence, what you would have thought, Pasuk would have read, if you really wanted a hekesh here, would have said, v'asita kiyor v'chano nechoshet. Had it written that, then you would have learned that there's a hekesh between kiyor and kano, because they have one nechoshet, and it means that they share common property. The fact that the Torah split them and said, Kiyor Nechoshet, Kano Nechoshet, shows you that there's only one thing that's common between them. That is Nechoshet, the copper. Other than that, none of the properties are similar between them. The fact that it wrote Nechoshet again shows you that's the sole property of commonality between them. But that means that it can't be used for anything else. Now, within this, there's an assumption that the Kano could be used. The Kano is a base. Why would you be able to use a base for washing? So Bali Tosafot give one answer, which is that the base actually had a depression in it in which the kiyor sat. So there's actually a Beit Kibul in the kano, and that's how you could have used it. The other possibility, which I think is a little harder given what the Gemara is going to say, which is other side of the kano. The base was made like you think of a pedestal or a stool, or you have something that is propped up but it's hollow underneath. So if you flip it over, it has a Beit Kibul in it. So that's the other possibility. So one of those two is how you would have washed or put the water into the canoe and been mekadesh. Gemara says about that logic of Abaye, what do you mean? The canoe is not made for its Beit Kibul. So now if you say it's the other side of the canoe, that's obvious that it wasn't made for that. And it might even be questionable what the half of it was, because they were never Mekadesh, the internal part of the upside down canoe. For the Baal Tosafot to say that there's a depression in it, which the Kiyor sat in, then you could argue that maybe that was made as a Beit Kibul. The answer is, that's a Beit Kibul that was made to be filled. That was made to be put the Kiyor into it. It wasn't made to be a receptacle to receive in it. So if that's the case, the soul of canoe has nothing to do with canoe inherently as the base. It's a problem because it's not made functionally to do that. Tomar b'kli chosha tzuila tokol. Speaking about a kli chol, which the whole purpose in the utility of the item is to use what is the inside, to capture things in it. Ela mimenu limute kli chol. Mimenu means from it, and not from a kli chol. Mar says, yoki kli sharei nami. If you're going to say now, mimenu means from it, and not anything else, that anything else should also include kli sharei. Ha rabi rachman or yirchatsu. You have a riboy of yirchatsu. But now you have is a miut in the pasuk mimenu and a riboy yirchatsu, where it says umaraita. How do you know what to include and what to exclude? Zetaun mishicha kamahu, zetaun mishicha kamahu. It's very simple. Kli sharet requires sanctification, being anointed with the oil of the shemen mishcha. So they have properties that are very similar to the kior in that manner, and so therefore you're going to say I'm going to include the kli sharet. And I'm going to exclude a clay chol, which has nothing in common with the kior except its utility. So that'll be what we'll exclude. Clay sharet that have both utility and sanctification in common with the kior, therefore they will be included. And this teaches you that a clay sharet, number one, can be used in place of the kior. According to Rashi, that means only when it's attached to the kior and drawing the water from the kior. According to the Baal Tosafot, that's even if it's separated away, as long as it derived the water from the kior. And again, that's similar to their explanations of the Revi'it issue. Baal Tosafot speak before about the Revi'it being a residual for something bigger. So too, he speaks about the water being from the Kiyor itself. Once it's separated, it still has the properties of the Kiyor. Rashi believes it always has to be connected to the Kiyor. And he also believes that there's no minimum standard in terms of washing for the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, because he doesn't believe you can separate away the water in any way. And that means that if it's less than a Revi'it, that's exactly what it is. Less than a Revi'it. And so in that way, we now reconciled all the different statements that we had here with regards to the Kiyor and the Kli Sharet. We're going to stop here by the two dots in the middle of Chav Bet Amud Aleph.